Well today, either I have a bad cold, which I just got today, or the pollen count is very high today. I don't know which one, but please bear with me. Today we're going to deal with some very, very, in my opinion, interesting things now, but I wanted to give a couple of introductions. First of all, everybody of course knows that Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan has an excellent book on the topic of mikvah called The Waters of Eden. And at first, I was just planning to read the book and give you over a synopsis of what he said. But my wife says, that's not fair. I mean, anybody can go and read the book. It's in English. You have to do something which people would otherwise not have access to. And therefore, I had to prepare something which probably will not be in the book, although I didn't read it, so I can't tell you for sure. The other thing which I have to tell you is that, of course, as everybody here knows, the Wednesday night shiur is really an excuse for me to teach you Reb Tzadok. Tonight we're going to do a Reb Tzadok, which is simply extraordinary. And we're going to go through it inside, piece by piece. And I want you to stop me if you don't understand something, because it's very complex, and there are certain things which I don't understand too well in this room myself, but since it reveals so many things, it's worthwhile seeing as much of it as we possibly can. Okay, we're going to start from where it says, Yamcha Oster Shlomo. And of course, I have notes here on the side, which may or may not be helpful as we go along. We'll see. Yamcha Oster Shlomo. Everybody knows that Shlomo HaMelech, when he made the Beis HaMikdash, made a yam. The yam was the container in the Beis HaMikdash, which contained the water which was used for Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, to sanctify the hands and the feet of the Kohanim, which formerly in the Mishkan was a kior, was a small kli which had two spigots. Shlomo HaMelech made a huge, huge vessel called the yam, the sea. It was held up on the backs of the images of, I think if I recall correctly, 12 oxen. And the water in the kior was connected by holes in the feet of the oxen to a spring, a rivulet, which ran under the Beis HaMikdash, which was connected in turn to a spring. So this water was, in fact, continuously connected to a spring and therefore had the din of a mikveh. There's immense amount of water in that yam, the shear of 150 regular mikvos. Okay, and we're going to talk about this yam later on in the evening. Kfar Kosov HaRambam, Sof Hilchos Mikvos, Rama Ray wrote the end of Hilchos Mikvos, Remez Yesh Pamikvah, that there's an allusion to the mikvah in the mitzvah of mikvah. In other words, even though the mitzvah of mikvah is obviously Xeris HaKosuv, nonetheless, there's an allusion in the mitzvah of the mikvah. And here I brought down the Rambam, I wrote it down at the top of the page. The Rambam says that a person, when he toivels in the mikvah from Tumah, should have in mind that it's symbolically, it's as if he's toiveling in the waters of knowledge, right? We always say that Torah is analogous to water, or water is analogous to Torah. And a person completely immerses himself in the body of Torah every time symbolically immerses himself in the body of Torah every time he goes to a mikvah. That's what the Rambam writes. Rav Shesh Bar Mikvah in Shom, the illusion which the mikvah possesses. Hu Kankim Divri Chaz Razal, this in essence is explained in the words of Chazal, Shila Yuma, the end of Masech Yuma. Laham Shil Tara Savoinus, where analogy is drawn between Tara from Averos, Litfilas Mikvah, and the. There's an immersion in the mikvah. Yuyan Shom, there the Gemara makes also in this analogy, She'isa Doime Litoivo Visharat Biyoda, the one who goes through a Yom Kippur and doesn't do tshuva, is the same as somebody who toivels in a mikveh while holding on to a dead insect, that it does him absolutely no good, because the moment he comes out of the mikveh, he's tummy again. Dinakti sheretz. Why is the analogy here sheretz? Why do we specifically talk about a dead insect? Shuar risho me'avos hatuma b'resh kelim, because it's the first one mentioned of the avos hatuma, the sources of tuma in the mesechta kelim, v'ushchech, and it's very prevalent. In other words, we could have said mace, which is an even higher degree of tumah, but since sheretz, a dead insect, is much more prevalent than dead bodies, therefore we mention the dead insect. V'yisodo b'kosov, and this in essence comes from a pasuk. It says, Mikol gilul lechem ater eschem, God says, from all of your idolatry I will purify you. So we see that averos and tumah are analogous. And that's why mikveh and tshuva are also analogous. U'tshuva t'shava, Hashem yisbar b'chol libo. Tshuva, where one returns to God with all of one's heart, Romez Lamayim alludes to water. And it's not just that it alludes to water because water and Torah are analogous, but because of another reason as well. V'remez yesh b'dover, there's an allusion here, k'mo sh'kosu b'sefer chinuch, like it says in the Sefer Chinuch, k'mo sh'ayah olam kulo b'tchila mayim b'mayim. At the beginning, before the world was created, we all know, v'ra'ar etzayis ha'sov avol, v'choshech al p'nei tom. The water, the world was water, filled with water. U'ki'ilu hayom nolad. And when one does tshuva, it's as if one is then reborn and goes back to the state of prior to the creation of the world, starting from sketch. Va'od varim begav. And it goes even deeper. Api mashin izbar le'el b'dvarenu, based on what Reb Tzadok explained sometime previously, ki atichun v'amiras al tamei tar, the rectification of one's sin, and the statement that that which was tamei becomes tar, it alludes to the madrega before the world was created. In fact, Chazal tell us that tshuva was created prior to the creation of the world. What does that allude to? Shua yichud ha'gomor, this is a complete unity with God. In other words, before the world was created, there was no separation from God. Everything was unified with God. That's what is meant by the statement that tshuva was created before the creation of the world. In other words, tshuva brings us back to that madrega of complete unity and oneness with God. No separation, no division. When one reaches that level, and one returns to the level of echad, of oneness with God, then that rectifies all the sins which one committed in the past. Well, if you want to develop that thought a bit more, what do you mean?
Tshuva
is that element that can bring us before the chet to be one with God.
So that's
something that tzaddikim may not be able to achieve. Why can Balei Tshuva achieve oneness with God? More than tzaddikim.
More than tzaddikim.
That
they have to be developed.
Now it has to be developed, but it's. I'm not saying you're wrong. It requires a little
bit
more analysis.
I mean, but tshuva has at least an element.
Right. That's right. Balei Tshuva, perhaps as a result of that tshuva process of the yearning and returning to God, they could become much more one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu than people who are never distant. In other words, just like we say, absence makes the heart grow fonder, so those who return to God have that much more of a bond than a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it could be that along those lines, like you're saying. V'zeu, and when is this achieved? K'shemiskase kulo b'mayim. When a person completely immerses himself in water, ki'ilu eino ba'olam, as if he's no longer in this world. All of Olam Hazeh has ceased to exist. He's returned to pre-Olam Hazeh state, when there was no world, when everything was water. He symbolically, by this, demonstrates his return to his connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'amru zal, Chazal say, mi matar eschem, right, it's in the song, Ashrechem Yisrael, mi matar eschem, who purifies the Jewish people? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu purifies us again. Like it says, Umola Arad Deyas Hashem, knowledge of God fills the land, Kamayim Layam Chasim, like water covers the seas. What does that mean? Just like before the creation of the world, everything was Ruach Elokim Rachev Esel Panei Amayim. There's no separation between the world and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had not yet removed his presence and hidden himself. And that's why within the waters, so to speak, were anybody to be around, which they weren't, but where anybody around it would have been surrounded by Ruach Elokim, so too waters represent to us the immersion in the Das Es Hashem, just like then, when Das Es Hashem, knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was what filled the world. Ukshid Balatzim Amai, when somebody immersed himself in the water, Shu Das Es Hashem, which is knowledge of God, Viskasa Koguf, and all of his body will be covered, Rotzolomar, in other words, Shekoko Chosov, all of his strengths and powers, you Shkuim basics there, will be immersed in this pursuit of Hashem's Nadeos Hashem, of knowing Hashem. Oz Nitrame Anvonos, this purifies him from his sins. Shezeo at Veikus Agomer, this is the complete connection with Hashem. Ubilvat Shekoku for Olabaran. But the point is, all of his body has to be immersed. Completely. Shekol Tavosov, all of his lusts, Umach Shavosov, and his thoughts, the Kolchosov, and his capabilities, Biprate Pratus, in the greatest detail, Einlem Shum Chuka, should have no yearning, Viratzon, or desire Koshu at all, Yinyone Zeolam, to matters of this world, Rak lemashu rotzon Hashem Yisbarach, only for that which is the will of God. Ushkuim bezen, they are immersed completely, levad, in this alone. Kulam echad, all of them together, lo nedar, not one yearning of a person is directed to any other thing when one is symbolically immersed in the mikvah, except to Ratzon Hashem, to the will of God, and knowing Hashem. Now, v'shiru chachamim. Chachamim told us how large the mikvah has to be. You know the Torah never tells us exactly how large a mikvah has to be. V'shiru chachamim reckoned that it has to be zarabayim sa'ah. Has to be 40 measures of a sa'ah. What is symbolism of a sa'ah? Ki sa'ah, hiamidah yoser gedola me'averos. Se'ah is the greatest measure which is attributed to averos, to sins. Kemosha kasu b'soita chesam al-beis. Like it says in Masechta Soita, b'sa'asa and the rest of the pasuk is b'shalcha trivena. The pasuk is explained by Chazal to mean when the measure of a certain nation's averos is filled, then God annihilates them. God destroys them. We see what is the measure which is attributed to sins, not a kor, not a lesech, not any other measure which was prevalent in the time of Tanakh and Chazal, but rather the measure of a sa'ah. That's what is the measure given to maximum amount of averus. Ein li'elo sa'ah v'chulei, it's all part of the Gemara, ki mokom averus v'achatoim, the place where one can commit averos and sins, who rak b'zor ilum, is only in this world. Kamosha kasuv, like it says, l'asi lovo yishochet ha'yitzorah. In the world to come, the yitzorah will be shechted, as it says, b'shili sukkah, the end of sechta sukkah. V'isa b'reishis rabo, and it says, b'reishis rabo, mishayim b'shabbos shabbos kan. So he doesn't keep shabbos in this world, shom b'shamer, al korcho. There is going to be forced to keep shabbos. There's no yitzorah in the world to come. U'perak oisim, pasim. And in the Masechta Erevin it says, Rishoyim Omrim Yofed Danta, Rishoyim in the world to come, they concede. They say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right. There are no averus in the world to come. Ulekach, and therefore we say, Kamosh Olam Azeh Ba'al Gvul. This world is finite. 6,000 years is the outer limit of this world. Kach averus Yishlem Gvul. So to averus have a finite measure. There's a measure given to averus, it's called the Sa'ah. Mashayge Mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are never described as a measure. Why? Eilem Gvul. They have no boundaries. And that's why there's no reward for mitzvahs in this world. Why? Because this world is a limited world. Averus are limited. You can get punished for averus in this world, but mitzvahs are limitless. You cannot give proper reward for limitless activity in a limited world. Die, I'm a bog fool. This is what he says. This world, because I skipped the parentheses, this world is has a limit. Uschar mitzvah ain't livable. The reward for mitzvah has no limit. The ikal mandamar ben nida, and there is even a mandamar that says in nida mitzvah same betelos lasi lavo. That mitzvah never cease. One fulfills mitzvahs even in the world to come. Varmu chazal, and alluding to this, chazal said tzadikim, eile menucha lo ba'olam hazeh lo ba'olam haba. Tzadikim have no rest, not in this world and not in the world to come. They're always pursuing mitzvahs. Shneimer it says yochum michay lochayil. They go from strength to strength. There too, in Olam Haba, there's room to do mitzvah, to fulfill Ratzon Hashem. So mitzvahs are limitless and they never cease. Averos are limited and finite. That's why they have a measure, the measure of a saw. Vainu kumash kasu besoper kamtikushin arab tzorik is a very powerful voice in explaining a chazal. We have a chazal which you all know. Chazal say, machshava toiva mitzarfu l'maisva. If one did, had a thought to do a good deed, but one was not, one was prevented from carrying out. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gives reward to the thought. But if one thought to do a bad deed, and a person was prevented from carrying out, so Kadosh Baruch Hu does not punish the thought. Everybody remember that? What's the difference between the two things? Fine, kamosh kasu b'sol perakam de kedushin, the machshava toiva mitzar fil ma'isa. Machshava toiva joins and is considered like an act. Even if you thought to do the mitzvah of ananas, and then you underwent some sort of unforeseen circumstance. And then into it, Ma'ale alav akosuv, the pasuk gives you credit, kilu asa, like you, as if you did it. Ava machshava ra, but a bad thought, ein mitzar flamaisa, it's not considered to be an act. Shavera hirak b'maisa. Because averos are only deeds. And therefore, vibalasgul, it has a limit. Dugmas olam asiyah, just like this world has a limit. Masha einkena machshava, as opposed to the thought, ein lo gvul v'geder klal, it has no limit and no restraint. So in other words, what we're saying is like this. The averos are deeds in this world. Machshavos are not averos. By definition, something which is limited, an avera, has no connection to something which is limitless, a machshava. Therefore, the machshava cannot be considered as if it's a maisa avera. But mitzvahs are limitless. One can always perform mitzvahs even in the world to come, and the reward for mitzvahs is in the world to come. There are no limits on mitzvahs. And therefore, machshavos, which are also limitless, also can be considered to have been done even when they have not been done as a mitzvah. Again, averos are limited. Machshavas, therefore, which are limitless, cannot be considered to be an avera. By definition, these things are contradictory. Mitzvahs are limitless. Machshavas are limitless. By definition, a machshava can be considered as if you did a mitzvah. Now, you'll ask me a question, which Reb Tzadik alludes to later on. Besides Avodah Zarah, we have even another Chazal, which is a good question. It says, Hirhurei Avera Kashim Me Avera. Thoughts of Avera are more difficult than Avera, more onerous than Avera itself. We'll get to that later on. Tzadik will speak about that. In the meantime, says Reb Tzadik, now this is really good, great stuff. Vinei, this is all introductory till now. Vinei Midas Olam Hazeh, the measure of this world, which I had grave difficulty with when I turned off Yomi, because it's a strange Hakadatah. The Gemara says there in Paragos and Pasim, the Shamayim Bezeres Tikein, the world was made, the heavens were made with a Zeres. Zeres is Chatzi Amma. Half an Amma, Al Chatzi Amma by half an Amma. Vinei Isa B'tomid, says in Sechta Tomid, the Mishamayim L'Eretz, from the heavens to the earth, is Kamizrach L'Marav, is the same distance as from east to west. So if that's the case, and the assumption is that all of the world in Tanakh, because it's a quote there from a pasuk, is given the measure of a half an amma by half an amma by half an amma. It's a cube of a half an amma on each side, right? The measures of the skies, of the heavens, are a half an amma by half an amma. And the distance from heaven to earth is a half an amma. And then the assumption is also that the land is a half an amma by a half an amma, just like Shemayim. It's parallel. So imagine to yourself you have a cube, which is half an amma by half an amma by half an amma. What is the volume of such a cube? 1/8 of an amma, right? Everybody remember their geometry? A half times a half times a half equals 1/8. Now, v'huim king. If that's the case, it's echad michav dalad b'mikveh. This is 1/24 of a mikveh. Why is it 1/24 of a mikveh? Because how much is a mikveh? A mikveh is 3 amos by 1 amma by 1 amma. So the Chazal tell us. That's the 40 sok infinite of 3 amos by 1, which is 3 cubic amos. 1/8 of a cubic amma is 1/24 of a mikveh. Everybody gets that? So far so good? See, this is why you have to go to high school and take geometry. People like me who failed geometry one semester have difficulty with this. But in any event, the point is that if that's the case, so what is the volume, or rather, what measure is there in 1/24 of a mikveh? If a whole mikveh is 40 sa'ah, how much is 1/24 of a mikveh? Less than 2. How much? Don't bother, he says in the next line. V'inkein echad michav dal, it's 1/24 of a mikveh, mishir mikveh. Dainu se'ah u'shnei shlishei se'ah. It's 1 2/3 se'ah. Shem asara kabin, which are 10 kabin. Why is that? Because in Talmudic measurements, terrible noise on the tape when I do this, but I'll do it anyway. In Talmudic measurements, we have there is a measure of a kav and a measure of a sa'ah. There are six kabin equals one sa'ah. Okay, so 1 2/3 sa'ah, how many do we have? How many kabin? Come on. 1 2/3 what? 10, right? So 1 2/3 equals 10 kabin. Says Reb Tzadik, oh, with this you can understand a lot of chazals. Because if zeu tzachus l'shoyin to l'shoyin of the kiddushim and pesim and beis, with this we understand the beauty of the language which chazal use in kiddushim. The chashiv kamad varim, it alludes there to several things, shiyardu la'lo la'masara kabin, mentioned several things which came down to the world in measures of 10 kab. Now, I don't know if anybody remembers that, but we can take a look in the Sechta Kiddushin and see what it says there. One Kiddushin, the Tesson Bays mentions, read it from the English since we have one here. Ten cobs of wisdom descended to the world. 9 were taken by Palestine and 1 by the rest of the world. 10 cobs of beauty descended to the world. 9 were taken by Jerusalem and 1 by the rest of the world. 10 cobs of poverty descended to the world. 9 were taken by Babylon and 1 by the rest of the world. 10 cobs of conceit descended to the world. 9 were taken by Elam and 1 by the rest of the world. Then it goes on, 10 cobs of strength descended to the world. 9 were taken by the Persians. 10 cobs of vermin descended to the world. 9 were taken by Media. 10 cobs of witchcraft, etc., etc. Why 10 kabin? Where did Chazal get that measure of 10 kabin from? They got it because that's exactly the measure of the world. The measure of the world is described in Masechta Eruvin as being a half an amma by half an amma by half an amma, which, as we just saw, is exactly the cubic measure which contains 10 kav. That's what Chazal were emphasizing. Unbelievable. Isn't that beautiful? I didn't know this till today, till I read this morning. Extraordinary. Says the Gemara, Vahainu shir kol olam. Why are they saying 10 kabin came down to the world? Because that's the shir of the world. In the world, you have 10 measures. That's pashut. 10 kabin is the entire shir of the world. Mashkos of sham tishanotlu. Why does it say 9 this country took? And 9 that country took? V'chulei. V'amar kol olam kulo. And 1 to the rest of the world. Ratzalomai says it's a deep meaning of this too. Ki yadun. It's a mistake a mistake printers are, should say kiyodua, it's known, the kol dover nechla klaser. Everything can be divided up into 10 parts. Everything in the world is works in base 10. Shezeh lo yimalei tshuv dover, it's impossible to find anything, shlo yichulek lezeh, which will not be divided into 10 parts. Kanoida, he says, is well known mitam chachme emes from the Kabbalah. Why is it well known in Kabbalah, of course? Ten spheros, right? They're 10 spheros. And also, for the philosophers, I don't know which philosophers, conceded this point as well. Varishon, now, says Reb Tzadik, everything is divided into 10. But now I'll explain to you in those 10. The first point, hu amekor hakoilulam, is the source which contains everything. Shemimenu hemispashtim, from that everything else comes. V'omek reishis shalakol, and that is the depth of the beginning of everything. Kayadum is barat slayed in Mokom Acher, like is explained by us somewhere else. Vatishoim kolim kol guf hageshem. And 9 includes all of the body of the of anything which has a substance to it. Kmo v'zesh kasuv tishanotlu. This is that which it says that 9 were taken by so-and-so country. Now, why does 9 include everything which has substance? Because if you take, let me just see if I remember, I knew it this morning. How many points are there in a cube? Corners. 8 corners and the middle. That's where the number 9 is, has its significance. There's the 8 corners of the cube and the point in the middle. Okay? And therefore, the number 9 represents the complete totality of any object because of that complete encompassment. So there's the number, the 1 of the 10, which represents the source of everything. And then there's the 9, which represents all the points on the cube, plus the middle, which represents all of the perfection, all the manifestation of that one thing in the physical realm. That's why he says, Vatisha and Kolim Kol Guf HaGeshem. The 9 points include the entire substance, the entire cube. Vizesh Koshim Tisha Tisha Not, that's why it says each one took 9, but Tomar Kol Chalokov. All of the manifest parts of such a trait, as described in Masech Tekush, whether it be wisdom or conceit or beauty or whatever it is, was taken by this thing to which it's described. Raka Echor HaMekora Koilulam, it's just that the source, which includes all those things, Mispashi B'chol Oilam, it's spread in the entire world, just not manifest. There is such a potential in the entire world, it's just a manifestation in this one place. So when the Chazal tells us that Asara Kabin Yoifi Notul Olam, 10 measures of beauty came down to the world, and 9 were taken by Yerushalayim, it means Yerushalayim is the place of beauty in the world. There is no beauty akin to Yerushalayim. That which you see beauty in the rest of the world is just traces. Something which you see, which is also comes from the fact, since there is a constant beauty in the world, so therefore it was spread to a certain extent in the rest of the world. But the true manifestation in this world of beauty is in Yerushalayim. Conceit came down to Elam. That's where conceit really was, the true manifestation. How we find it in the rest of the world, since there's the concept of conceit, which is the source of those 9 kabin, so therefore it manifests itself as traces in the rest of the world. But the true and concentrated manifestation is in Elam. Vaidei ko olam shosim tanti so samokam shano tel tisha. And through the rest of the world, which also possesses traces of this trait, by definition of the fact that the trait does exist, they are drinking from the essence of that place which took the 9. V'havein zen, he says, understand this. Now, this is very difficult to understand, and again, I'm not sure I fully understand it, but again, what it means is that the pure manifestation and ultimate manifestation is in that one place, or that one concept. And everything else which exists as trace amounts. Why? Because since the concept exists, it's able to spread in other places. But the true manifestation is in that one place. Okay, v'neisa, and it says, Ha'olam, really unbelievable. Ha'olam shlishi shuvgokule. It says in a medrash which brought down Tosfos Masechet Pesachim, the world is 1/3 settled, 1/3 desert, and 1/3 sea. Now, of course, it's not talking about physical dimensions. It's talking about the 3 areas, regions in the world. V'chein pirush Rashi, and Rashi explained on the pasuk al v'chol v'sholish b'afar, that God measured with a shlish the dust of the land. That the land is measured into, the world is divided into thirds. In any event, in that third of the world, which is the settled part of the world, v'shamu b'makom bnei adam, that's a place of people, v'abchir b'ra, and the place where one can choose evil. Okay, now nimta, if that's the case, it comes out heim kolim rak shlish, that of the 9 kabin shiyardu la'olam, which are manifest in whatever place. So 1/3 is to be found in the Yishuv. 1/3 is to be found in the desert, and the other 1/3 is to be found in the sea. Now, again, I want to explain this a little bit. When we say that Tisha Kabin not Yushalayim, this is a true physical manifestation in this world. It still exists in the rest of the world. So we can say, what did Chazal mean when they said that the world is 1/3 desert, 1/3 water, and 1/3 settled? They said, so to speak, that whatever there is in the world is divided between these 3 areas. So we come out with how much of this 9 in is in the land, is in the settled part of the land, 1/3, in other words, 3 kabin. Nintakom rakshlishu shlosha kabin, v'echor ha-makora koilulam, but besides the 3 which we have, which are the shlosha kabin, in the community, there's also the one measure, which we said is not physically manifest, but does exist, which is the source of all these traits. Hare arba kabin. That makes up 4 kabin. Vim tosefesh lish lagucha biyovish, there's halacha. Whenever you give a measure, a dry measure, you add a 3rd. Over the top of the rim of the measure, you add a 3rd, right? So what's a 3rd of, what's a 3rd of, what, of 4? Actually, it's not a third of four. It's a third. It's a third. It's two. Even though two is half of four, but what do you get when you add two to four? Six. So two is a third of six. You understand what I'm saying? That measure which you add is a what we call a mechtza milagav, half of what is there, which is then going to become shlish milabar, which is going to become a third of the total amount. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? No? To four, if you have, let's say, I'll give you a dry measure of four. Then I have to add to that four kabin, I have to add another two kabin. Why do I add another two kabin? Because another two kabin is a third over the rim. It's not half, even though two is half of four. It's a third. Why? Because it's a third of the total. Because what's the total now after I add the two? Six, right? So that's what I have to add. Okay, we'll see. We'll explain this. Harei arba kabin, v'im atosef shlish gush b'yavish, now says the Tzadok, k'mosh kos avu mokom acher, like we wrote someplace else, k'maisa mitzvahs, the activity of the mitzvahs, lach. Mitzvahs are considered to be a wet measure. Why? Ki ator mishul l'mayim, because Torah is likened to water. V'chein amru zal, and Chazal said, kol shebiyam tor. Anything which is in the sea is tor. In other words, that there is no tuma and tara by fish and such like. Everything is tor. V'achet mashal liyavish. And the chet is analogous to a dry measure. Eretz ha-negev nesananu. Like we say, God put us in the dry land. Negev means dry. Why? Because chatoim are committed in the absence of water, in the absence of Torah. Hare mida sa'ah. What do we have now? If you take four kabin, which is the three of the third of the community, plus the one which is the source, and then you add the one-third of the total, which is the extra two, so you have now six kabin. What is six kabin? One saw. Says, that is the measure of Avera. We said before, what's the maximum measure of Avera? One saw. How do we get the one measure, the maximum measure of Avera being one saw? We take the ninth kabin of whatever bad midah came down into the world. Whatever bad midah we're talking about, we always describe it as nine kabin. A third of that is the measure which you find in the community, in the shlish yishuv. And to that third, you add the one, that tenth kab, which is the source of all of the avera, the source of that bad midah, the root of it. And then you add, like you always add to a dry measure, the extra third, which is another two to make up six. Six kabin is one sa'ah. That's where Chazal got the symbolism of, or the Torah, the Tanakh actually brought down the symbolism of the maximum measure of Eris being a sa'ah.
You can say that about
Midatoa
too, though.
Midatoa will be more, we'll see that. Harei Midasol Chomer Chatoim HaKoilim Kol Olam Kula. That is the Midah of a sa'ah. For the severity of chatoim, which includes the entire world, hamyushav, the entire settled world, imagucha, plus the excess, ritzolomar betachlis koyve oven, that's as far as an avera can ultimately get. Now, says Rav Tzadok, umidas aklilavad, remember, I just made this cheshmer for you, including that which is heaped up on top of the keli. Right? There's an extra third heaped up on top. What does the kli itself hold? The vessel itself. Umidas aklilavad agucha, the midah of the measure of the vessel itself, besides that which is heaped on top, is base shlishei se'ah, is two-thirds of a sa'ah. What's two-thirds of a sa'ah? Hu mechuvan, it corresponds to echad mishishim mishir mikvah, one-sixtieth of the shir of a mikvah. Why? Because how many sa'in are in a mikvah? 40. Two-thirds of a sa'ah is one-sixtieth of that, right? Two-thirds is 1/60 of 40. Does everybody see that? Working through your heads, does you see that? 2/3 is 1/60 of 40. Does everybody agree? Just trust me on it. It's true. Okay? Shu kli machzik arba'im sa, because the mikvah is a kli which holds 40 sa. I'm going to skip the brackets here. Ukeder shekosu b'psachim. Oh, what is this allude to? What is 1/60 allude to? He says, olam echon mishishim megan. The world is considered to be 1/60 of Gan Eden. Oh, what does it mean the world is 1/60 of one Gan Eden? The Sefer Teres Chaim says The kol echad mishishin shabagmar, anytime the Gemara says that something is 1/60th, ritzon alomar means to say, she said, batel bezeh. That it's null and void vis-a-vis that other thing. In other words, this world is null and void vis-a-vis Gan Eden. Why does 1/60th represent null and void? Because things are which are lose their taste are classified in the Chazal as being batel b'shishim. They're null and void within 60 measures of something else which nullify the taste of that object. So this world is nothing compared to Olam Haba, to Gan Eden. And so too, the Averis in this world, the Kli which holds the Averis, which is 2/3 of a Sa'ah, is nothing compared to the Tara, and it's nullified by the Mikvah. The Kli which holds the Averis, which is only 2/3 of a Sa'ah, is purified and completely nullified by being reversed in the Mikvah of Kedusha. Skivaldik, come on, guys. So it says, again, the fish of Bituli Surin, why is that considered to be nullification 1/60th? Shabituli Surin Mibashishim. Nullifying this is in 1/60th. Right, so. The chain saw tshuva, Samishkan, so to one does tshuva, one has to do tshuva to such an extent, achis bato, kovet, oneg avera, that the pleasure one got, and the weight of the pleasure one got from the avera, should be so nullified. Neged kovet and merirus tshuva in comparison to the bitterness of the tshuva, which one does, uklo haya, that it should become as if it never was. Ulekach, and therefore, shiaru shishim pa'amim, they said that the mikvah should be 60 times neged kovet avon, corresponding to the severity of the sin. Va'od varim begat, and we can explain even further. Ki arboim sa'ah, 40 sa'ah, hu tuf kuf samich log, is 960 log. Now, this is log, kav is a dry measure. Log is a wet measure. There are 960 log in 40 sa'ah. How much is that per sa'ah? I didn't figure out how many lugim is that in a sa'ah? 960 divided by 40? 24? 24. Okay. So the 24 saw and Logan saw. Umatzinu, in Perek Yud the Trumas, and the 10th Perek of Trumas in the Yerushalmi, it says there's something, a certain type of fish brine, which is bitul echad mitatkesas, which is batel in terms of if you have usher fish brine, which get mixed up with mutzer fish brine, it's batel in a ratio of 1 to 960. It's not a number. Ain't no shame mispar. Rebo is not a name of a number. Raklosh and Rebo, it just means a lot. Happens to be that a lot in Hebrew is tantamount to 10,000, but it's not a number. Elef is the highest number. Like you wrote somewhere else. Lachain.
Like the
Shinaf
and
Rebo
is
like
the Shishin.
Where does it say that? Oh. Lachain Isa, and therefore it says, Ososov, Lachain. Aleph, Osiosov, Elef, Shizach, Oselichu. Therefore, the letter Aleph is written with the same letters as Elef, because it's 1,000, because it's all one. Fatam, why is this? Ki Asaro hu Mispar Sholim. 10 is a complete unit. Shekein kol Misparim, Hel Machom, Ochim Asaros, Asaros. All numbers are counted in base 10. Vechein kolin yoni olam, so to all matters in this world, Chalukim Lasor, divided into 10s, like we explained before, Karoid mitam Chachmei Emes. Besod Basara Mamoris Nivar Olam, as the Kabbalists explain in the concept of with 10 statements the world is created. Basara Komer Shleiman to 10 is a complete entity. Lefisha Kol Guf Nivra, why it's 10 a complete entity? Because everybody which is created, who Mugdar B'shisha Ktsava Ktsavos has 6 points, right? Up, down, north, south, east, west. V'ispashtus V'orech V'rocha V'gova. And that is to go to the length, the width, and the height. Va'yidei zeh ha'ispashtus ba'orech v'rochav nase meruba. I'm sorry, I misread the line. Vasara koma shlema, period. 10 is a complete entity. Now, new line. I read it as a continuation of the old line, that's not true. Fishakoguf nivro mukdar b'shishak tzavos, since every body has six points, v'ispashtus b'orech v'rochav v'gova, has length, width, and height. V'yizei dezeh ha'ispashtus b'orech v'rochav. We go like this, step by step. Creating dimensions of north and south, in other words, length and width, which is a two-dimensional object but already has a surface, we come to 100. And that's why he says, V'nasem eruba me'asara. 100 is 10 squared. What does 10 squared mean? We had 10, which was a point, and we squared it. We made length and width. We made a square. That gives us 100. 1,000, says Reb Tzadok, adds two other dimensions. Uksemispashe gam lagova, when it goes also up and down, then humukav, it becomes a cube. Right? 10 cubed means 10 to the third power. What's 10 to the third power? 1,000. Right? 1,000 has all the dimensions. Vazugeshem sholem, then it becomes one, not just a surface, but a substance, an actual physical substance. V'chozel yozguv yechidi, and it becomes a united substance, nivro, which is created. V'ubesod amram, and this is an allusion to the secret of that, which they say, ma ani yochid ba'lofim ba'elyonim, I am one in the heavens, says God, shezo aleph, which is an aleph. V'osios lamed pei, and the letters lamed pei, hurak milia os aleph, is also this the filling, in other words, the adding of the letters, which we do not normally see when we write the letter aleph, but adding the words the letters lamed pei also doesn't just make an aleph, the letter aleph, but also makes nasa eleph, the number eleph. She's pashtus l'chol tzad, and this is an allusion to the fact that when you have a cube, it's something which goes in all directions, Leo's koma shlema, and is a unit of a totality of shlemus, umaleya, which is complete. Vaz chozer kol yichud, and then everything is one. In other words, all directions are encompassed by this object. Any possible worldly dimension is encompassed in it, and it is one, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. And that's what we allude to, of course, in the letter, in the word echad, when Kriya Shema, right? We say echad, the aleph represents the one Hashem. And the Ches represents the seven heavens and the earth, which is up and down. And the Dalet represents the four directions. So Echad represents a cube, something which is true in any direction which you turn. And that is the same thing which we say Aleph and Eleph are connected. The one and the cube, which exists in all directions which you turn, in any dimension, are considered to be one. We don't have any more time to dwell on this, says Reb Tzadok. Another place to explain, with this, Inyan Sare Yisrael, the concept of the officers in Am Yisrael. Shochim Rakat Sare Elofim. In the Chumash, we only find officers up to 1,000. There are no higher officers than that. Veino Kisare Rebiel Somati, we never found officers of tens of thousands in the Chumash. Shemashi Yosim Elof, above and beyond 1,000, Humadregas Amelech. That's only a king. The highest office in Am Yisrael besides a king is only over thousands. Shlachin Chor L'Shol, that's why Shol is upset when they got back from the war against the Plishtim. Mashanasu lo alof, and they said, Hika Shol ba'alof of Shol killed thousands, V'David revoisav, and David killed tens of thousands. He got upset because kings are the ones who are connected to tens of thousands. Below kings, the highest level which was attributed to people is thousands. V'od lo acham lucha, that's why he said, oh, they're saying this praise about David, soon he's going to want to be the king, which happened. V'chein Yisrael l'David, v'chein Yisrael l'David, sh'shokha k'aser salof imish, ayin shom, and it says there, it alludes the fact that David is like 10,000 people, ki ha-melech, because the king, ki ha-hu k'elam yigufim shleimim, ha-nivroim kulam, a king is a special madrega. He includes many, many different created things. And therefore he has a higher number called 10,000, which also is made up of 10 sons of Tzadik, but it's not here for us to discuss the concept of a king in 10,000. But beyond, besides the king, lower than the king, the highest number which you will find is 1,000. And this is what they said all places. It says, if you have a whole insect, say, it's not batel. If you have a chopped up insect, it's batel 1/60th, right? Just like anything else. If you have a whole insect, it's not batel, even in 1,000. Why in 1,000? What was the lashon they used here? Noktu guzma. Why did they use an exaggeration of 1,000? In the lashon pasuk also, whenever it wants to express something, an exaggeration says, Echa me'elef motzasi, I found one in 1,000. V'nemar says, Me'li techa me'elef, one attorney out of 1,000. Mispar elef, what's pshat? The number 1,000, shu tachlis habitul evra prati laklau gomor, it's the ultimate in the negation of something individual to the complete cloud, the complete, what's a good translation of a cloud? To complete generality, in the ultimate simplicity. In other words, one in 1,000 you would think for sure. 1,000 is a complete entity and totality. And if something is not bottle in 1,000, there's nothing that can ever be bottle in. 1,000 is the ultimate. If it's not bottle even in 1,000, that means it's never bottle. And this is how we explain bitul, right? That things are negated. We find several types of bitul. We find, first of all, shemtino echa mishisha, that some things are batel one in 1/6. Linea masumatan in terms of business deals, the shtus kana mekach. For instance, if you overcharge by 1/6, it's okay. That 1/6 which you overcharge by or undercharged is considered to be batel, is not taken into account. The yosim shtus batel mekach. If you overcharge by more than 1/6, then the sale is null and void. Shuk inyan bitul, this is similar, although it's not exactly the same. It's not that the 1/6 is null and void, like if you have a fly which falls, or a piece of us or meat which falls into your soup, that's batel. But it's similar. The b'shtus batla ashir ono legabi gufachevitz. If it's less than 1/6, then the amount of cheating on the sale is considered as if it's nullified vis-a-vis the actual object which is being bought and sold. It says in Baba Basra, Emosifin alamidos v'amadbeah, one cannot add to measures and to values of coins, may be stocking, cannot make profit, yoytim mishtus, more than 1/6, hakokin and bitul, all this is similar to bitul. That's one type of bitul. Omatino gamkin bitul echon me'eser, we also find bitul in things which are bought to 1 out of 10. Shom tzadigimel abeis, my mishnah eser metulos, it says, if I'm giving you a certain amount of of grain, so I'm allowed, within that grain, there could be 10% of grain, which is wormy. Esther Kosos, 10% of grain, which is bad. Esther Poizosos, another type of shortcoming. Lamea, 10 out of 100 is okay. I'm skipping now the brackets. That's another type of bitul. Umatzino bitul b'shishim, we find things which are bitul in 60s. And then we find bitul b'mea, things which are bitul in 100s. Lisurim pratim, in specific isurim, things, there are certain types, like when you have truma, which falls into chulin, it's bitul in a ratio of 1 to 100. Ubitul tough kuf samach. Then we have this bitul of 1 in 960. Ubir zek moshe kusam mokamachin. To explain this, you have to explain ki kol davar choluk rak l'shlosher. Everything is divided only into three parts. Of course, we divide things into 10, but basically there are three parts: haschala, the beginning; haemtsa, the middle; basof, in the end. Kilo olam rubo kikulo. Because once you pass the middle, we say in halacha and most things, most of it is like all of it. Even though you're only the beginning of the second half, the moment you pass half, we say ruba kikulo. From the middle point and afterwards, sharuba over, when most of it is passed, then I say kilu kulo sham. It's as if the entire thing has been done. Vomi besofen, it's as if you're at the end of kedera shakasu perakam of the kiddushin, like it says in the first parak of kiddushin. Kaven the nafik mipago. Once it's more than a half, more than 1,000 something, karav la pine cream is called close to 2,000. This is our feeling of things. We perceive things as being ruba kukula, most of it like all of it. Like we say, majority rules, go after the majority. But in terms of the actual creation, there is no such thing. Either you have all of it or you don't have all of it. Your perception is only a relative thing. Absolutes are completely different. Lachain, therefore, eser mitlos v'chule, in something where we're talking about 10 grains which are wormy. Shabitu mimele mitzat teva bria, it has nothing to do with perception. It has to do with absolutes. Shu echad v'eser bitu l'aproti b'koma shlema. When you have 1 out of 10, then the specific, the one, is bottled in the complete, in the unity of 10. Uvonavi stakrus, but when we're dealing with cheating, and we're dealing with profit, shu maisa adam, which is mankind's give and take and barter, there it has to do with perspective. By perspective, we say ruba kakulo, most is like all. And so too, we don't go by 1 out of 10, we go by what people are willing to consider to be batel. One sixth is considered to be batel. V'chein bitul atam. So too, things which have to do with taste. Shu mashen nirgash l'odam, that which the person tastes is his perception. Shu echem ishishim, that's 1/60. V'shuv ein nirgash atam, and then the taste is no longer perceived. Why is perception linked, however, to the number 6? Because in perception we say rubo kikulo. What's most of 10? 6. That's why things which have to do with people's perception, such as whether they're being cheated or whether they taste something, have to do with multiples of 6. To allude to the fact that although in absolute terms, either you got everything or you don't have everything, in perceptive terms, which have to do with the way people perceive things, one can regard things which you have rov as if you have kol. 6 is already as if you have 10s. But things which it has nothing to do with your perception, doesn't have to do with mankind's taste, such as truma, you have an apple of truma in apples of chulin, but it doesn't have to do with taste, whereas it has to do with absolutes, then echad mimeo. You can't go after perception, and therefore 6 doesn't come into account. You need 10s. So bitul agarm, which is complete bitul, mitzat tevar bria, in terms of the nature of things, when the one specific is bottled in the 10, which is the totality. From the Mashazeb, Asaras and Seven Males, but why do we have tens and hundreds? Die, you should know. Ki arba madregos, the 4 levels, yichidos, single units, asiros, tens, males, hundreds, alofim, and thousands. Biarnaba Mokamacha, we explain in another place, shame neged arba lomos, that they correspond to the 4 worlds. Asilus, bria, yitzira, asira, the 4 worlds in Kabbalah. Hayiduim, lachachma, amas, which are known to the Kabbalists. Shatzilus, the world of Atzilus, represents the highest world in creation. Where we say God is one and there are no other created entities. Taman huvi yichidus. There he's one. That's the Aleph. That's the single unit. For holy chumisrabe, and then gradually the worlds become larger with more created entities. Ad Asiyah. Until the world of Asiyah, which is the lowest world where we are. Below the malachim and below the everything else which is created. Shubatachas haribu, which has the ultimate amount of creatures. Vehefech, and it's the exact opposite of Hayichud, of unity. Umagiel amispar elephant, it comes to the number of thousand, shuaribu yayosu sholim, which is the most amount of things which you can have. Mimisparim in numbers. The kasfurim, we think it's ribu gomer, it's so much. Veinu el yichud gomer, but in reality it's unity. Because 1,000 and aleph are connected. Kamoshis barlel, we explain. Vubasod, and this is the secret of nodes, sofan bizkilosan. The end is connected to the beginning. Ukemara bozok, and like lightning, which goes back and forth and back and forth among the clouds. Where the letter ends, it starts again. Like we wrote before, at the truth is that God is one, even in the earth, even though we don't perceive it. Truth will come from the world, and we will eventually see how everything is. And even in the world of this world, eventually they will grow and be revealed. Tachlis omek ayichud, the depth of the unity with God. Ayidei odam through mankind, shoshu malu, is rooted on high. Me'olam atzilus u'neshama, comes to the loftiest world. V'megalan, people reveal, shagam ariba yaza, even this multiplicity. Huyichud gom reality is completely unity with one, with God. K'moshizbar sozele malu rosh, like it was explained above. Rakshu milu yayichud, this is extending the letter Aleph to the Lamed Pei and creating a whole word out of it. Like we explained before, Vein Ba'adam, and in mankind as well. We have Machshav, you know what? getting late. The question is whether we should skip, even though I really feel bad about skipping. All right, we'll skip the rest of this paragraph. We'll go to the next paragraph, because I really want to do that paragraph. Vine log. Log u'shir shalit. A log is the smallest shear which we find in Tanakh, but it's a shear, it's a complete shear. In other words, it's not a half of something. It's the smallest whole unit which we find in Tanakh. In Chazal, there's a smaller unit called a kartov, but in Tanakh, it's the smallest whole unit. Like we found somewhere, like I explained somewhere else, our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Below koyam menasech kol shmona, the nisuch hamayim at Sukkos were done with a log all 8 days of Sukkos." Below tim sabater, you will not find the Torah midah ktanos yoser, a smaller midah. V'lachein, therefore, bitul tamei betar, the bitul of tamei in tar is betuf tuf kuf samich lug, is in 960 lug. Why in 960 lug? We'll come back to it in a few moments. He really explained a little bit before in the part which we didn't see, but we'll see if we can explain it. We'll come to it in a few minutes. V'zeh mayim shekol gufo ole. This is water which encompasses the entire body. As a mikvah, it encompasses the entire body. Ki kol gufu ba'al sholosh ktsavos. Because the body has 3 points, right? 3 dimensions. Orech, length, v'rochav, and width, v'gova, and height. V'lachein, and therefore, you need 1,000 for the body. Why? Because 1,000 represents a cube. All the dimensions, length, height, and width, 10 to the third. It's just, he explained before, that in things which have to do with the perception of mankind, we say rubo kikulo. And therefore, one dimension in man, one can be considered to be his own perception of things. In other words, there are things which man receives from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there are things which man does. But then there are also things which are man's perceptions, which is that which connects between what man receives from Hashem and that which then man does. There are 3 parts. What man gets from Hashem, what man perceives, and then what man does. In things which have to do with man's perception, we said, and it's something which alludes to the perception of man being different than absolutes, is that we say in things which have to do perception, rubo kikulo. Now, those 3 things are 3 different 100s, right? It's true that it becomes 1,000, right? Because we say 10 cubed becomes 1,000. But one could say also that each part of man represents a different 100. And one of those 100s has the concept of rubo kikulo. Rubo kikulo means, instead of 100, what do you have? 60. So the 960 represents that man is made up of 3 parts. What he receives from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he does to and his relationship to the world, and his own perceptions, which connect the two. In his own perceptions, we say that rubo kikulo, and therefore 60, is considered to be close enough to 100. So that's the last 60 out of the 960, as opposed to a complete 1,000. Okay, and then he says, the shear is amal amav brum sholosh, an amav by 3 amasai. Hagova sholosh pavim orech varochav. The height is 3 times the length and the width. Why? Shukelosh loishtam, because the height is the most important characteristic of mankind. Then includes the other characteristics, canal. The sof maisav amachshava tchila, and the end indeed is the beginning in thought. Why? Although height is the last dimension. First you have a point, and then a line, and then becomes a surface, and then it becomes a cube. But that's the ultimate purpose. The ultimate purpose is that a person should become a cube. He should become high. What does it mean he should become high? He should uplift himself and elevate himself to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why height is the most important dimension. V'nei Shlomo Melech Olav HaShalom, by Shlomo Melech says, Shlomo Shmo. His name was Shlomo, Ushlemo Mishnoso, and his learning was complete. Shayachofit Lahasik Tachli So Shlemos, he wanted to achieve the highest level of completion, of totality. Kayadua is well known, and that's why he requested wisdom. And it says in the Zohar, the Biyom of Kaimasira Vashlemusa. His days, the moon was full. Now, I don't know what the moon means, the moon was full. Is it full all the time, part of the time? But the moon was full in his days. What does it mean? Lekach osayam, that's why he made a sea, hamachzi kufnu mikveh tara, which had 150 mikvos in it. Lechor yam mashma mayim shein lemsof. Wait a second, says Reb Tzadok. Sea indicates water which has no end. Harayesh lemino, it says what they had an end. It said it was finite. 150 mikvos. Ach b'Yerushalmi iso, but it says Yerushalmi v'uva v'taisim psachim, kuftes ha-bezen, v'rotan taisim psachim, the ragli ha-shvorim, that the legs of the oxen which supported the yam hoyu chalulim were hollow. The waters are connected to the waters in the deep. That means that this is the ultimate purpose of somebody who is finite, to connect to his source, to the infinite, and to connect to that which is beyond the boundaries. And this vessel of Shlomo HaMelech, which is connected to its source, it holds so much, kufnu mikveh tara. Holds 150 mikvos of Tara. Why 150? What does 15 represent? What's the 15th day of the month? When the full moon. The moon is full. What does the full moon represent? Am Yisrael in its shleimus, because the moon is Am Yisrael. So the 15 times 10 represents the full moon in completion. By the way, it's a famous Gemara. It was a certain Talmud, which is where Gemara brings down, which says, this Talmud is so smart and so brilliant, he can be Matiris Asher for Kuf Nun Taimim. He was able to give 150 svaras why, and then in sex should really be tahar. So what's pshat? Why 150? Never understood. Why 150 reasons? The pshat is that tuma is because there's a lack of fulfillment in this world. Because we have shortcomings. Were we not to have shortcomings, were there not Adam Rishon not to have sinned, there would never have been any tuma. Why does tuma come about? Because our moon is not a full moon. But were we to have, the full moon, the 15th of the month, times 10, which is the unit of completion, then there would be no tumah. That's Shadi was Matar the Sheretz of Kufnun Taimim. He said, if we had this Kufnun, which Shlomo HaMelech built the Yam to represent, then we wouldn't have had any tumah in the world. That's the illusion. Kamash Kasav Rashis Rabbah, like Shum Sierra Beshlamusa represents a complete full moon. Shiyom Tesla, which is the 15th day of the month, Kamash Kasav Rashis Rabbah. Lavona, like it says in the Medrash, Lavona, so you dal me tumi lefonav. The moon has 14 days of waxing beforehand. You dal achon 14 days of waning afterwards. But says vav, and the 15th day on Sunday is the middle day of Sholim Shlemus. The Chen Shlomo HaMelech, who adorang tes vav, was the 15th generation me Avraham Avinu from Avraham Avinu. The Chen Mimena from him till the last king until Tzidkio was another 14 generations, exact middle. Vinei Avraham Avinu dar shu b'reishis rabba n'avraham Avinu says b'reishis rabba pasuk zeh this pasuk mi tein tor mi tomei. Who will give pure out of impure? Avraham mi terach. It was the beginning of a tara. Who arishon shetovo b'mikvah tara is the first one to, so to speak, tovo in the mikvah tara min atumah kodemet for a prior tumah. V'anikra tor, and he was called tor. V'shleimus is the beginning of shleimus min neged chisaron vis-a-vis the chisaron which came before him. The depths of emptiness which was terach. Avo b'shleimus atzo, but even in shleimus, yesh milus, there are milus. Then Chamishos are in the 15 milos and shlemos, like the 15 days of the wax of the moon. The Kach Kibalti and I received the tradition from a Rebbe, Kidat Nabi Midos, Tetzva Milos Mi Ezras Noshim U Ezras Yisrael, the 15 steps, which were in the from the Ezras Noshim to the Ezras Yisrael in the Beis HaMikdash, corresponded Kinegil Chav Tetzva Sheramal Shemtilim, corresponded to the 15 Sheramalos which were in Tehillim. She Tetzva Valios Vamilos Yesh, there are 15 ascents, just like there are 15 days to the full moon. And that's why I have to skip the rest of the paragraph till the because we're out of time. And that's why we say, so just skipping to the last part of the paragraph, V'nei Chavdalet, Kol Dover, the three-lens line from the end, V'nei Kol Dover, Kasheru B'Shleimus, anything when it's complete, and Sholem, who Kol Me'aser includes 10. V'chaya Du'a is alone, and as we explained before, K'mo she's Bar-Lel, like 10 spheros. And therefore, I'm kuftu mikvah tara, the 150 mikvos of tara. All right, the rest of the Reb Tzadok I can't do tonight because it's late. Those who come back tomorrow night at 9:30 will be zeichet to do the rest of this Reb Tzadok. But I just want to read you very quickly Michtam Elio, which is on page 3 and it's in English. He says, the idea of immersion in mikvah is that one, so to speak, goes out of the world of falsehood, goes out of this world completely. Even one's hair must remain within the mikvah. As we know, water stands for the water of knowledge that is the Torah. Total immersion in the mikveh means total immersion in Torah. And more, one's contact with Torah must be complete. Nothing at all may intervene between oneself and the Torah. The Torah into which he enters must be purely spiritual without any worldly thoughts whatsoever. Drawn water disqualifies mikveh because such water has been contained in a vessel used for worldly purposes. The vessel disqualifies the water even though it was drawn expressly for a mikveh, for the purpose of purification.
If the mikveh contains insufficient water, the drawn water may even disqualify the whole mikveh. Even if there is sufficient water in the mikveh, it is disqualified if the water is seeping out, zochalin. The fact that it is on the decrease is sufficient for a disqualifying factor. Only one type of mikveh remains fit for use, even if water is flowing out of it, and that is a mikveh fed by spring water, which constantly renews itself from its source. If the water reaches the mikveh by way of an object which is susceptible to tumah, this can also disqualify the mikveh. Any contact with even the possibility of defilement is sufficient to prevent the purification from taking effect. From these laws of immersion, one can learn something about the conditions of complete attachment to Torah. Hashem is, in fact, the pool of purification for the people of Israel, provided they are completely attached to Him, recognizing in their hearts that there is no one but He. On Yom Kippur, the Eitzar has less power, and consequently, attachment to Hashem can be more intense. In a sense, therefore, Israel immerses itself in God. A very remarkable thought. Stop here.